Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, a World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners. No prisoners. 1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Or turnerstakeag.com if you're a farmer. And yeah, I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. Work with farmers, speculators, online trading, broker assisted, managed futures, anything to do with futures, commodities, markets. And you can find all my contact information in the show notes for this podcast. So let's jump into it. This is going to be a second podcast for the week. We're doing a little bit of a bonus here. It's been such a crazy week with the stock market, and I've also had a little bit more thought on the grain markets too. So I am actually in my basement today. It is a snow day for my kids. I live in DuPage County in Illinois, just about 20 or 30 miles due west outside of Chicago in Cook County. And gotta tell you, I don't think anyone plowed my roads or my street until well into mid-morning, which made it nearly impossible for me to get to the station and the train. But luckily, I do have my laptop here and my two cell phones, one for work and one for personal, and able to do business at home. So let's talk about the stock market. Here's the thing. I've been saying that we didn't have any systemic risk. I've been saying that with the stock market, you know, it was... I put out a newsletter about the VIX and volatility, and too many people were, it's a very crowded trade, and they were short volatility, and then they couldn't get out, and in order to get out, they had to sell the S&P, in a nutshell. And I still believe that, but one thing I kind of want to go back on is I said that there isn't a whole lot of systemic risk here. It's not like banks, you know, like with the subprime crisis, where all of a sudden there's all these assets on a bank's balance sheet, and then you realize they're worthless. And then all of a sudden, the balance sheet that looks strong now looks like the company's going bankrupt, right? That wasn't really the case with this. You know, a lot of funds are going, you know, may tank. Some of these short ETF volatility things will tank and probably go away. But, you know, institutionally, we don't have to worry about anything, which I still kind of believe. But one thing that has been brought to our attention is that some of these asset managers might be in trouble. And, you know, when after the subprime crisis, you know, the asset managers became very big as the investment banks started to convert into commercial banks. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on with the big asset managers, and, you know, how much they were hurt by this, and are they going to be, how leveraged they were. In terms of the stock market, I've been saying since the beginning of the year I wanted to get long on a big break, and that big break never came, and then that big break came this week, and we still haven't gotten long yet. Here's why. We haven't seen the market hit bottom, but we have, you know, we're still seeing the rallies come on low volume, and then the selling come intraday on higher volume. We haven't seen kind of that capitulation of where we spike down and then come up on big volume as the buyers come into the market. I think that the confidence of the market's definitely been hurt here. We've definitely broken trend now. We're in this, I want to say we're in a 10% territory or close to it for the correction. I think we're right there. And you know, one of the things that is going to be important to watch here is, you know, when are we going to get a reversal on the chart? In the meantime, I don't know if we're going straight back up to where we were. I think, you know, the price-to-earnings ratio on the S&P was getting pretty high. And my argument for a while now, a couple of years, has been, well, the PE, you know, the the PE ratio in the S&P has been high because when you're, even though like earnings are at one price now, if you're forecasting earnings to get better and better, then what the price of the market's supposed to do is start to price in what's going to happen in the future. So you're not always pricing in, the price of indices or stocks based on what the earnings are now. It's what the earnings will be. So that's been my argument for the couple of years of why we always thought the stock market would continue to gradually go high. Here's the thing with the Fed tightening, it eventually that catches up to the market, and it is going to slow down growth a little bit, even with the tax plan. We've had a bull market since nearly 8 to 10 years, depending on how far you want to go back, after the subprime crash. So eventually that's going to catch up to the market. And I'm just wondering now if the PE ratio on stocks, which is their price to earnings, should deserve to come down. Not because it's not bad right now, but with even though the tax cuts are coming, if the Fed is going to tighten and take liquidity out of the system, what does that mean for economic growth 6 months down the road, a year down the road? I'm not saying we're going to have a recession. It just may not be as strong as it once was, right? And the market's not about like what's going on right now. It's about what's going to happen 6 months from now, right? That's how we price things. And I'm just thinking that, maybe the market is coming to terms with, we had this big blowout, but we probably had the big blowout in volatility because what probably happened is the selling, and people are starting to figure out, the P, where PE ratios are going to be and what the future earning capability is of these companies. That caused the market to come down. That caused the volatility to go up. That cost the short covering on the volatility, which people couldn't get out of. Their short vol bets, they had to short the S&P. And here we are. So I think we're going to channel for a while. I mean, I'm not a raging bull. Also not completely bearish either. I do not think we should go back into a bear market or be down 20%. But I don't know if I'd really be calling for new all-time highs anytime soon either. So the one thing I would stress about the stock market, which it plays a big role in a lot of things, and just economic growth too, when you're trying to extrapolate that to commodities, is where are earnings going? And they may be strong now, but are people starting to suddenly continue to be this strong and growing? And I'm not really seeing that or really buying it. You saw some banks downgrading Apple for the first time. So if we are gonna kind of mellow out here and the Fed is gonna be raising rates. I mean, I'm not surprised now that we're at these levels. So I still like buying the dips. I am going to look for a reversal in the charts. I think we could still see a little bit more selling. And we're not going to stop seeing the selling in the stock market until the volume. When the market's coming down, it's usually coming down on high volume, and we're getting these rallies on low volume. And we need to see that to switch. And then we see that to switch, we know whoever needed to get out is probably out. Like they're whoever was too leveraged is able to lighten up. Whoever was short vol, able to buy that back. And that should be it. So that's something we'll continue to look at. I also want to talk about the WASDE report. Came out on Thursday. I would say that on. I'm going to put this on pause for a second. All right, I am back. That was just my wife coming down here to check on me. So with the. With the WASDE and the grain markets, I think what's going to happen on Sunday night is okay. So we're very sensitive to Argentina weather right now. That report yesterday was bullish for corn, yet we're lower. And I've been saying this for a while now. I think the move in corn has more to do with wheat than it does the South American weather. And since that WASDE report came out. March wheat is down. We had a low today, or we had a close today in Chicago wheat, 449. We had a high basically before the report of a close, 56. So 56 to 49. 7 cents, 8 cents. Let's see Kansas City wheat. What did that do? Kansas City wheat. All right, here we go. Kansas City week. Before the report, we were trading around 480 in March, and now we're at about 465. So we closed 15 cents lower. So now Kansas City wheat is 15 cents lower, low to high, right before the report to the close on Friday. And what's going on with corn? Corn is down. No, from 365 to 362. We did get as high as 367, 368. So we have this little of a mini reversal in the chart of corn. And you could say, well, that report was bearish, and I mean, that report was bullish for corn on Friday, and we still have dry weather in Argentina. What's going on? We're following wheat. We're following Kansas City wheat again. So I know it's not completely explains the price action, but I think it has more to do with than the market's giving it credit for. So Kansas City wheat was down 9.5 cents today, and that took corn down 3 to 4 cents, because that report yesterday wasn't that bearish, and we still haven't gotten that report yesterday was bullish for corn. But wheat's down, and it's taking wheat down with it. And you know what? When hybrid wheat went up 60 cents over the course of a month, it brought corn up 20 with it. And now that Kansas City wheat's down 15, it's bringing corn down 5 cents. And I really think that has more of the relationship than anything else. Now, if we don't get rain today, we did get some yesterday in Argentina. If we don't get rain today, we don't get rain over the weekend, and it's still hot and dry, which is now we're entering a very, we are in a very critical stage for corn in Argentina. You know, maybe then we really do see a weather rally, or this rally is more about the weather in Argentina and less about wheat in the United States. And it kind of reminds me, you know, this Sunday coming up is going to be like a July or a June or July Sunday in the United States, you know, when we've got a weather market going on. So that could definitely happen. But otherwise, if we do get rain, I think we're coming down in the corn market. And here's the thing with wheat. So wheat's been rallying since the end of January, when we had the reports from the states, and it was Oklahoma and Kansas that had such poor winter wheat ratings. And that's all based on new crop. So we've had this rally right up until the WASDE report on new crop issues, right? Now, the thing is, the WASDE, the USDA, does not release its new crop numbers, supply and demand, for wheat or anything, corn or beans, until May. All right? So we don't get to see anything about new crop on the wheat, corn, or soybeans until the May WASDE. So here we've had this big rally since February 1st because of conditions of new crop. And then the WASDE report comes out and it shows old crop going higher. Well, you know what? Yeah, old crop went higher, not by a ton, but a little bit. But it's only the old crop picture. You know, we've now got a billion bushels of wheat, all wheat stocks, because exports came down a little bit, and then the stocks ended up coming. But this whole story, the whole reason why wheat's been bullish, you know, it was already known that old crop wheat is going to be large. You know, what it is, it's that next year, you didn't change any acreage. So just by regular acreage and trendline yields, we're losing 200 million bushels of wheat on the carryout when that report comes out in May. Plus the poor conditions, you can make a case maybe we're going to have 300 million bushels less in all wheat category. Plus the hard red wheat is the one that's hitting hardest. So when they break down the wheat by category, that's going to probably show the biggest problem spot for the wheat market. I mean, you can make the case right now in, you know, this invisible May, you know, May WASDE supply and demand balance sheet, which I have over on, I have my own at turnerstakeag.com. If you log in there and go check out the wheat, you can see what I think where we're going to be. And I'm going to update that over the weekend. But, I mean, I'm thinking we're going to be between 700 and 800 million bushels, you know, when we see that report in May. And that's why the wheat market's come up. And that hasn't changed. What has changed, you know, the USDA, and I was writing about this today, the USDA is kind of like the first church of grain prices, and the WASDE is the gospel. And if the WASDE says a billion carry out, well, then the market's got to trade a billion carry out, even if it's just about old crop and says nothing about new crop, because no one talks about new crop in the WASDE until May. Meanwhile, this whole rally, the 60 cents, is all about new crop and what we're going to see, you know, come May. So I remember a similar situation in soybeans a couple years ago when beans were above $13. Everyone was pricing in massive acreage for soybean expansion. This may have been 5 years ago. And, you know, it's, you know, the market knew it. Everyone talked about it. But, you know, we still showed tight stocks on the WASD right up until the point where we got to actually see a WASD report with new crop and the massive increase of acres and a trend line yield. And that's when soybeans went from 13 to 10. So, I don't know. I have a feeling that we're going to see the same thing with wheat. There are multiple ways to play it. I'm going to be writing about it next week in my newsletter. And I'm not exactly too sure how we're going to get long Kansas City wheat. It could be through the option market. We may look at new crop in July. Maybe we might play it against Chicago. We may play it against corn or soybeans. We're definitely going to use something next week and just start to build a position here in the hard red winter wheat to get something on the books and then kind of go from there. Because I do think that's going to be a big story come May, and I do think there's going to be little trading opportunities in between now and there too. So the way I kind of want to do it is like kind of have a position for the longer term to let it just sit and maybe like with some cheap calls or something like that. And then in the meantime between that, maybe try to take advantage of some price swings. So I think that's how we're going to do it. So in terms of corn, again, we sold some at $3.90 for the farmers. I have an order out there to sell some more at $4. If I can get 20 for the farmers that we work with, we can get 20% sold by planting intentions. Great. Actually, I would really like to do it by ag form. If we get close to the ag form, God, I'm really hoping ag. I mean, I shouldn't say hope. I really think the ag form is going to show less acres than next year. Then if we do, then we get a little pop, and that maybe that's when we hit $4 in these corn. I still like straddles, especially for new crop. I think we're going to be a range-bound market. I think what the market's doing right now, though, is repricing what that range should be. You know, if they got a pricing issues with hard red wheat, and maybe that brings up the wheat market a little bit, corn has to take notice. There's also going to be a little bit of the Argentina issue and also the acreage. But, you know, instead of maybe having, you know, corn trading a range of 345 to 365, maybe the new range for the next couple of months is going to be 355 to 380 or 360 or 380 or something like that. But I think that's what corn's doing right now. I know the charts show bullish. I don't think we're starting to trend up, you know, for, you know, in a straight line. I think what we're really doing is finding where that new range is going to be. Beans, again, like I've been saying, we can be $2 up, $2 lower. Brazil has a good crop. It's not going to be able to make up for all the losses in Argentina. So that'll be something. But, you know, we're also not doing all that great with the export market right now. I thought that report was bearish. And I'm surprised. I was really surprised we weren't down 15 or 20 cents after that report. So farmers we work with, we did sell at $10. We sold at $10.15. We have a third target to get 30% sold. If we get 10.30, and we may even get a little more aggressive with that. If we really think the acreage is going to bust out by planting intentions, we may get 30 to 40% sold by planting intentions. And that is it. So still bullish on wheat, kind of neutral on corn. I'm bearish on soybeans. And, you know, with the stock market, my thoughts have changed a little bit. I do think there's a little bit more systemic risk in there, not from the banks, but from the asset managers and just the structure of how leveraged is this market. So I think the stocks, as soon as we start, I do think we're going to be range bound. I don't think we're crashing. I don't think we're going to a bear market, but I also don't think we're getting to the all-time highs anytime soon either. So we're just going to try to probably play the range that way too. So that's where we are. Hope everyone has a great weekend. I'm actually going to go outside and shovel now. I did it last night. I did it this morning. And now I'm going to make the third round, and I think we should be all set at home and be able to get out of the driveway. So have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you all next week.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.